Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com. $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night, download it Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade Take the Mic.
Yes, indeed, it is John Pollock and Nate Milton of Nefarious Media, who is with us as we are going to be going through the Raw after WrestleMania. If you are joining us on the Post Wrestling YouTube channel, consider jumping on to postwrestlingcafe.com for the XL edition, as Nate and I just spent a half hour chatting about WrestleMania 41, playing This Is Your Life with Nate Milton, going back to March the 1st of 2025, a very different time in the Nate Milton interest level for this John Cena heel turn. Plus, a lot of other news and notes, including Paul Heyman's insane appearance on Pat McAfee today, the WWE Unreal series with the trailer dropping today, and the passing of Hisashi Shinma, who was a very influential figure in New Japan Pro Wrestling and across many companies as well, passing away at the age of 90. We are going to get into Raw, which was their latest show at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, and they announced a sellout. WrestleTick's last number was 16,777. On the broadcast, they announced over 19,200. And before we go into this Raw After Mania, I want to go back to last year's Raw After Mania and quickly remind people of how that show opened. It was new champion Cody Rhodes coming out after winning against Roman Reigns, and he is met by The Rock, who comes out and says that he has to go away for a little while. And as the crowd was singing goodbye, he said, "When I do come back, I'm coming for you, Cody, whether you're champion or not." And Cody tells Rock that "I'm looking forward to it." And Rock reminds him that "I pinned you on Saturday night, and my story with Roman Reigns is over, but my story with you has just begun." Before Rock shook his hand, passing off his gift, and an agitated Cody was left in the ring, and it was brilliant matchmaking. Here is The Rock, who leaves after pinning Cody now the champion, and we've got a year to build to this rematch and this loss that will be a chip on Cody's shoulder for a year, and they maximized this by having Rock return on that Netflix premiere and became best friends with Cody, and we just extinguished all of this. So it was another. Rock is great at lighting the spark, but unfortunately, instead of starting a nice campfire, it just goes up in flames. And not great start, not so much a finish. But that was a year ago that we were teasing the Rock and Cody showdown at a date to be determined.
It's insane, John. I'd completely forgotten about that segment until you brought it up.
Because, so did Rock.
Like you said, that first Raw on Netflix, there was no trace of the final boss. That was just corporate DJ. That was my main man, Maui Ken. I got a chee-hoo. That's who we got on that first Raw on Netflix. And so, again, that angle that they shot at Elimination Chamber was so amazing. And I'm like, The Rock is back, John Pollock. And he was back until he wasn't. So
he was back until he wasn't. Well, yes, WrestleMania came and went, and Dwayne Johnson did not. So that was the story of the WrestleMania main event. A lot of dissension among many, with it ending on, I think, a sour note, even though there were some very strong positives, I would say, especially from that show. It's funny because as much as people were talking about all of these different multi-person matches, I'll have to say that between the women's title match on night two, the main event on night one, and the main event of Stand and Deliver with Obafemi, Trick Williams, and Javon Evans. My three favorite matches on each of those shows were the multi-person triple threat matches. That Stand and Deliver card, I don't know if you got to see it, Nate. It was a great show. I would say of the three, that was probably the show I enjoyed the most, with the women's match probably being my favorite match of the WWE-specific events this weekend.
Now, I haven't had a chance to catch it yet. It is in the queue, John, of what I need to catch up on from the week. But again, I had some questions about some events on this Raw, and I'm like, did I miss context clues from Stand and Deliver? So I'm glad one of us was able to watch it. So maybe you can educate me on that, John.
Well, we'll try and fill in some blanks. But first off, it is a recap of Mania, and they show Paul Heyman arriving with Seth Rollins, who would close out the show, and starting the show is John Cena coming out, the stripped-down entrance, just his name, that's it, in black and white, wearing the belt backward in this new state of distress that the championship has found itself in, Nate. And he enters the ring, and he signals for announcer Mark Nash as Cena gives him a prepared statement as he has to reintroduce him as the last real champion and the greatest of all time, and the lights are dimmed, and it's just the spotlight on John Cena in the ring. And after Mark Nash, who is their newest announcer that they just hired about a month or so ago, that's been on SmackDown, he did such a great job. This whole crowd was like cheering this statement after it was read, and they're behind Cena. So Cena starts his promo and states that winners write history. You fans are not worthy. You can all cheer and you expect me to forgive you. That's not how a functional relationship works. Just because you show up in a good mood, I can still tell you to go straight to hell. You all owe me an apology, but none of you have the courage to do it. So the whole arena starts chanting, "We are sorry." Cena says, "You know what they're chanting? They're chanting, 'We aren't sorry.' Well, your apology means nothing to me." So this crowd that just plays into this go from "we are sorry" to "asshole." And they only like underscore the man's point. It was really hard to disagree with John Cena and this fickle crowd. He says, "You've thrown your worst insults at me for 25 years. I still haven't cracked." And then I really like this. He puts up the date, 36 dates, which was the original number, but he lists off all the appearances he's already done this year, bringing the number down to 27, clarifying, "That's not matches you get of me, it's appearances. You say I can't wrestle, I don't have to. I just have to do this." And when that number hits zero, the pro wrestling timeline stops cold. And then, I guess the man has been on Reddit, says, "I know what you're all saying. Yes, there will be another champion, and wrestling will not end when I retire. But the belt that Bruno held, the one that Reigns held, and Triple H, and all of those great champions, it goes home with me. I will be the last undisputed champion. And you can just keep, I can just keep playing you like the puppets you are. The best chance you people had was Cody," who does get booed when his name is brought up, not great, and says, listen to that, "you heartless bastards. You turn on him just like that. No one in the WWE has the ruthless aggression of John Cena, but I will give you all a chance for a photo op." And as he poses, the camera goes in, it goes in tight, just like it did on Joe Hendry. And much like Joe Hendry, Cena eats an RKO as Orton appears. And this place went nuts for Orton showing up here. Whatever you want to say about maybe your level of dissatisfaction with the main event of WrestleMania, or maybe where the legs have kind of been pulled out from underneath, I thought John Cena was awesome in the segment. I just thought he was tremendous. And we're very clearly getting Cena and Randy Orton for Backlash, it would appear, in St. Louis in 3 weeks.
You could say a lot of things about John Cena, but one of them is not that he isn't a good performer. Right. And so,
and very good on his feet too. Of like, yes, if the, wherever the crowd's going to chant, it's like there's no deer in the headlights with him. That's always been a great tool of his.
So, like, as much as I dislike the main event of WrestleMania on Sunday night, I thought this was at least a good step at rehabilitation for heel John Cena. And he was actually making a lot of sense, as you said. You know, we all love the night after WrestleMania Raw crowds. They're always raucous. They're always hot. But this crowd was all of those things and also bipolar because they didn't know what they wanted all night, John. There were a lot of questionable allegiances formed between the audience and the performers they were watching. And so John Cena rightfully pointed out, you saying you're sorry, but because I'm not capitulating to your apology, now I'm an asshole, and now you're booing Cody, but Cody was your guy that you were cheering for. And so Cena made a lot of sense in this. I did like the Orton of it all. Another thing I had a problem with at WrestleMania, though, was we had not one, John, not two, but three matches that were allegedly for the fate of the industry. We had the triple threat on Saturday. We had AJ Styles and Logan Paul, because that somehow would affect the trajectory of pro wrestling. And then we had Cody and Cena. And it's like, you're setting the stakes way too high for something that should be more personal. I'm glad that Cena's clarifying, like, yeah, of course this isn't ending because this is a business and it's going to keep going. So let's move on to the next thing. Just look at these dates that I've got left and enjoy me while you can. I love the RKO spot. But again, John, I am not looking forward to this match, because if that's the scene that we got with Cody last night, I don't know how much better he can be in there with Orton.
It's been evident for a lot of Cena's appearances over the last few years. Like, he has been very, very limited, and it's very clear, like, what he can do is, like, he's never been the smoothest guy, but it's so rigid at this point. And, like, if you are expecting, like, your 25-minute WWE main event, that's really overshooting things. And even if you have an Orton in his hometown, these are going to be struggles for those types of matches to get out of people. It has taken a decade, but the audience, both in this arena and online, did seem pretty excited that you will get this Cena Orton match, which could be their last one. We will see. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez are out next, and they cut a promo during the break, complaining about not having time to prepare for Becky. Raquel also cut a promo in Spanish to the live crowd. And then we had several celebrities show, and ones who just stayed in town, including Gabriel Iglesias, who apparently, I've only seen like bits and pieces of people's feedback to the roast, that it sounds like if there was one person that got broken, it was Gabriel Iglesias, who appeared like he was legitimately ready to fight Paul Heyman. It was the word going around. But and they also showed, which would play in later, Pat McAfee's crew from his show in the front row as well, who were they would have their man's back later. Gigi Dolin and Tatum Paxley are also shown, because they will face the winners of this tag title match on Tuesday's NXT, because we're getting a rematch from Sunday with Becky and Lyra defending the tag belts against Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Liv just goes right after Becky at the bell, showing a lot of aggression. The manhandle slam gets countered by Liv and then gets sent into Raquel on the apron. And after Becky blocks the oblivion, turns it into a manhandle slam, and Raquel saves. And I mean, first of all, I thought you just had way more interest in the four of them as opposed to last night, where it was just the Becky Lynch show and everyone just wanted to see Becky. Whether it was just a tepid reaction to the match, it felt like all four of these really had their working boots on to come out and just have like a really exciting match. And I thought like it was just escalating like this. There was that big sunset powerbomb move by Liv onto Becky, and then Lyra goes for a Rana off the top, and Raquel blocks it, powerbombing her off the turnbuckle. There's a big boot by Raquel for a two count. Then she powerbombs Liv. Lyra gets the knees up, and Lyra dumps Raquel over the top, blocks the oblivion, and then Raquel prevents the Nightwing, grabbing onto Liv's leg, so Liv nails Raquel off the apron, but in doing so, turns around, and she takes the most incredible oblivion, where it looked like she spiked herself on her head, like RVD taking a DDT back in his day. And Liv pins her in 11:57, so the crowd just pops big. You're getting a title change after one day, and they become four-time tag champions, so it will be Liv and Raquel against Tatum Paxley and Gigi Dolin on Tuesday. So before we get to the angle afterward, I thought this was just a significantly better match than their Mania match that they had.
Absolutely. Like, it was night and day. I thought all four did admirably. The match last night wasn't bad. It was just kind of pedestrian outside of the Becky appearance. But this was a much better match. I did not know that this match had stakes in terms of the NXT of it all. And so I was just like, that's a quick turnaround. And then it's like, okay, that makes sense then, because you want to have the alignments right for NXT. But then the post-match, John, had me scratching my head.
So Becky sits disappointed, and she consoles Lyra Valkyria, lifts her up, and attacks Lyra, and goes to walk out on her, but then comes back and just continues the attack. She hits one manhandle slam, a second manhandle slam, and the fickle crowd chanting one more time. So Becky does it and gets the big pop for the third one, leaving Lyra for dead after this. So in theory, a turn for Becky, even though this is almost par for the course now when you do a WWE turn, is that the crowd cheers because it's like a storyline twist. And then you just do the finisher over and over again, like with Bronson Reed or with Jacob Fatu. And the crowd just keeps going nuts for seeing the moves. But it would appear that we're going to go in this direction with Becky and Lyra coming out of this. And the title switch was just basically to set up the turn for the next night.
Yeah, if shades of Becky and Trish's tag team dissolution. That's immediately what I flash back to with this. And then it's like, okay, I guess she's substituting for Bayley in all aspects as a tag team partner and as somebody that turns heel on Lyra. But I don't know, John. Like, to me, again, first night, it may be a great story because these two obviously have history, but it's going to come down to the execution of the storytelling. But yeah, it was a bit of a head scratcher for me.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those, we're getting a little complex. If Becky is revealed as the one to take out Bayley with the knowledge that she would get the spot and was it to set the knowing that we'll screw this up within 24 hours, or is this maybe she had high hopes that her team would be more successful than this. But yeah, we do still have the attack angle on Bayley to figure out.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hackers don't need much. Just one leaked password can potentially unlock a treasure trove of personal information, leading to stress, pain, and permanently wrecked credit. Don't be an easy target. Get protection by Aura today. Aura protects your identity, finances, and family, all in one powerful app. Get real-time alerts, safeguard your accounts, and block scams before they happen. If identity theft strikes, we help you recover. Stay protected at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen.
Then we have the New Day coming out as the new tag champions, and they state no team, dead or alive, is better than us, and we get a New Day sucks chant, and they are interrupted by Alpha Academy, with Maxine getting a speaking role, stating last time they had a match, Otis and Tozawa beat you in 60 seconds, and challenges them to a match, calling them the Minutemen. And after Xavier Woods first turns it down, Kingston will not take this insult. We are not Minutemen, and agree, but before the match can begin, with the referee running down, the lights go out, and in comes, don't call me Miro, it is the return of Rusev. Pat McAfee says there were rumors, and he's got a new theme, look totally chiseled coming out, and murdered Alpha Academy. And this included a Machka kick and the accolade to Otis as the crowd chanted Rusev Day. And a Deadline has since reported that this was negotiated on behalf of him and CJ Perry, are represented by Paradigm. Rusev has signed a 2-year deal, and CJ Perry has signed a Legends deal, with both represented by the management group. But how did you feel about the return of Rusev? He's coming back as a heel, and not making it really clear. Like, this felt like more just a reintroduction rather than setting something up with Otis and Tozawa.
Yeah, I don't think this is the direction they're going in the immediate. It was just a cool return. The Redeemer has been redeemed, John Pollock. What a wonderful evening. I knew we were going to get some surprises tonight. I knew we were going to get some people showing up that we hadn't seen in a while or that were making their debuts. And so seeing Rusev was cool. I think my favorite part of the whole New Day Alpha Academy segment was Pat McAfee paying homage to Missy Elliott with the One Minute Man lyrics. That's probably Pat's best work all day, given what happened earlier. But yeah, I have high hopes, man. Like, there are some people, and Chris talks about this a lot on the NWA podcast. There are some people that, you know, are stuck in a slot regardless of whichever company they go to. And unfortunately, I think somebody like Andrade fits in that role, John. Like, he's kind of made a lateral move between AEW and WWE. Whereas somebody like Rusev, I feel like if they craft the right stories, put him in there with the right people, Rusev has a chance to actually, you know, get back to the level he was at before he left, or even exceed where he was at before he left. Cause when he left, he was fighting in wedding cakes with Bobby Lashley. And we don't need to revisit that. So I'm happy for Rusev, and yeah, like I think this is a good signing for the company.
Do you think this was just a isolated return segment, or could you see him like being the muscle for the New Day?
That was my initial thought. Like, huh, maybe Rusev is part of the new Day. And that's something that
Rusev Day and New Day. Yeah.
Rusev. See, John, it was right there the whole time. I didn't read the tea leaves. I didn't, you know, we got a program coming out on Thursday called Ring Theory. I didn't connect the dots on this Rusev theory you got, John, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. It feels like, especially depending on what Lana's involvement is, if it's just a Legends thing or will she be appearing with Rusev on screen? I don't know the logistics of that. There's worse options for Rusev than to be with the New Day. And I was happy the New Day won on Saturday. It felt like the right thing to do after the heel turn. But if all of this was just for another tag team title run for the New Day, it feels kind of underwhelming. So maybe pairing them in a stable with Rusev will give them some more juice, but who knows?
Yeah, this Raw division is in desperate need of some replenishing of teams or creation of some new ones. The Judgment Day is in the back, and Dominic, Liv, and Raquel all celebrating with their belts, and Dominic calling it the best weekend ever as Finn Balor walks in without any title, the big loser of the weekend. But Liv reminds him, as you had said, Finn, a win for one is a win for all. And Balor has a sad look on his face, but then he congratulates Dominic, but is clearly eyeing the IC title that he has his look forced upon. Then they made this announcement that the Survivor Series, we had heard like San Diego as like the city that had been thrown out there, but did not expect that they would be booking Pepco Park, which is where the Padres play. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have an outdoor stadium show for Survivor Series November 29th, which on the poster, they are listing the local tourism authority and tourism marketing district. So read that to mean dollars coming TKO's way. But this I have never been to this baseball park, but apparently when you, they did some kind of poll that this was like voted like the second best baseball stadium in the country. So this is quite the place that they have booked. And this is going to be, the largest venue they've ever booked for a Survivor Series by far.
I love Petco Park. Used to live in San Diego. Like, other than Oriole Park at Camden Yards, it's my favorite baseball stadium. Like, it's a beautiful stadium, so I think it'll be a great venue for wrestling. And, yeah, San Diego to me is a city that needs more love from some of these companies in terms of bringing big shows to San Diego. So, yeah, I'm happy for them.
Io Sky comes out, and she calls last night the best of her career. She's over the moon. She beat the best. That makes her the best. And she speaks in Japanese, says she is the genius of the sky and your women's champion. And she is met by Stephanie Vaquer, who comes out with the NXT Women's Championship, congratulates Io. There's a La Primera chant for her. And she says, I respect you. You are amazing. But I want to find out who the best is. And they make the challenges. It is accepted by Io. And then Adam Pearce runs out. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And the whole place boos him. Like, this was one of the loudest boos of the whole night. He pulls Las Vegas. Do you want this match? And guess what? They all said no, and they just went to commercial. No, they all cheered, and we got the impromptu match between these two. And so Cole mentions the fact that both have worked for Stardom in their careers. And Sky lands his big suicide dive. Vaquer gets back up with a high cross off the barricade. And then after the bullet train attack, Vaquer rolls away from the over-the-moonsault attempt and just nails a dragon screw onto Io, who's selling the knee. Vaquer does the devil's kiss, which prompted a Booker T chant, and a one more time chant, which she did not engage with. They trade Germans, and then after a one-woman Spanish fly by Io, she nearly lost her footing but regained it and sets up for another bullet train attack when all of a sudden Roxanne Perez runs into the ring attacking Io for the DQ at 13:59. They had previously announced earlier in the show that Roxanne will be challenging Stephanie Vaquer for the women's championship on Tuesday's show as well. So Roxanne ends the match. Then Julia appears laying out Vaquer. So it's Perez and Vaquer, Julia working together when Rhea Ripley runs down, sending Perez out and has a long stare down with Julia and obviously teasing that at some point. And Ripley then hands the belt over to Io, telling her that I'm coming for this. So a lot of moving parts in this match. But yeah, what did you think about Vaquer with Io Sky and then some of the teases afterward?
First of all, in regards to the match, I thought it was a hell of a match, man. Io has had a great 48 hours. I did not predict her to win the three-way at WrestleMania. You know, it's on tape. It's on video that I predicted Bianca Belair. And so the fact that not only did they have an amazing match, but that Io was booked so strong and got the clean win, like I was happy for Io. Hopefully they continue to do what they need to do to promote her, you know, because that was a discussion we had on the show. It's like, you know, the fact that they said on tonight's show, John, she was the first Japanese woman to get a victory at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When Asuka Wild has stat. Been in this company, the Bull Nakano, the Jumping Bomb Angels, all of these people have been in this company, and she's the first one in 2025. So that's like part of the hesitation for me with Io was like, I don't think y'all know how to promote these ladies, man.
I guess the Japanese have lost Yokozuna in canon.
Yes, in canon, yes.
He's officially Samoan now. In
yes, I mean, it's in WWE 2K25, so he's part of the bloodline, John.
That's true.
We can't invalidate the video game. But I really enjoyed the match. And so my big thing is if you have Io break Bianca Belair's WrestleMania streak, and granted somebody out there is probably like, it's only been a few WrestleManias, but the Undertaker streak was a few WrestleManias until it wasn't. And so this is something they were cognizant of, that Bianca had a streak going. And so if Io's going to break it, then it needs to mean something. And so I hope they continue to book her as a strong champion. I enjoyed the match with Stephanie Vaquer. I thought the two had good chemistry. I was confused by the Roxanne Perez of it all, because if you were having a match with this lady, why would you interrupt this match, John? Like, let her tire herself out. Maybe she'll be in worse shape for Tuesday. I didn't know if Roxanne and Julia, again, I hadn't watched Stand and Deliver, so I don't know if Roxanne and Julia were in cahoots for a while.
This was like a new alliance that they were establishing. Okay. Like, this is the first time they've like presented Julia in kind of like a heel light.
Okay.
That I'm sure will extend to NXT. I don't know. It kind of felt to me like kind of just a lazy out that we don't want to beat either of these women. And And the hope that, hey, we're going to tease people with Ripley and Julia and they'll leave the segment satisfied that they get these run-ins and cameos from NXT that, I mean, the audience did pop for when they showed up, especially with Ripley at the end of it all confronting them. And I guess it's only a question of if you're like Roxanne Perez is kind of like in this weird limbo, like where she's been called up, but she's still in NXT, and I'm hoping they just like make her full time at this point now that Mania's done. But the more interesting one is Julia. If this was just to be set up something for NXT, or if they're looking right. Like that women's division NXT, there's so many people that like Julia could be brought up along with Roxanne too.
And I was confused by the Rhea of it all. Like, I don't know if just the past 48 hours, John, have conditioned me to expect just people turning for no reason, all willy-nilly. And so I thought Rhea was going to join up with Roxanne and Julia. And then, no, she's here to save Io because she wants the title, even though it, like, we're going back to it at some point, obviously, because Rhea has never beaten Io one-on-one. And so that's a story that they have to pay off eventually. But I was just kind of confused by, like, Interesting. But we did have to get Rhea on this show because there was no other space for her to be in front of this crowd. So all in all, I thought it was an effective segment. Even if
up a bunch of matches too coming out of this. Like I would think this possibly backlashes as you could set this up. Like that's the thing. They've got 3 weeks to build up that next pay-per-view. So it's the complete opposite of WrestleMania where they had forever to build that one up. During the break, Pat McAfee gave a big speech just thanking all the fans, making this the best WrestleMania ever, as his nose grew a bit larger each time he said that. Then there was this music video. We're channeling Macklemore. We're giving some licensing fees to Macklemore for this Jey Uso video chronicling his whole life, childhood photos, his early WWE days, right up until the title win. And that sets the stage for Jey Uso's arrival as the world heavyweight champion. Now, I guess the disputed championship, I would say. He was, to John Cena's point. He comes in through the arena and comes out, big reception, restarts the theme, and then he finally gets on the mic. He says, I'm here now. I've wanted this since I was a kid. It wasn't an easy road, and I had to give everything to beat Gunther, but I made him tap. And I'm going to show up every week. I'm going to put the work in. And before he can continue, Sami Zayn's music plays. And Zayn is back, much like the last time that Nate Milton was here. It was Elimination Chamber, the same time that we last saw Sami Zayn. So everyone making their return 7 weeks later. And he comes out and he gives Jey a hug. There's a chant of Sami Uso. And Sami says, it was hard not to be here over the lead up to WrestleMania and all the things you had to deal with Gunther. I'm sorry for that. And I also missed WrestleMania, which was also very hard for me. I almost didn't come to Las Vegas at all, but I had to so that I could be the first one here in the ring to tell you how proud I am of you and that you deserve it. He calls him, you're my brother, you're my Oos. And then he calls for Jey's music as the two are celebrating. And there's a moment where Zayn stands in the middle. And part of me is saying, like, it was the feeling you had in the last segment where I was like, okay, I'm not opposed to a turn at some point, but there have been so many in the last 3 days that this feels like just way too early to do this. But my God, did they want you to think that direction, and they just milked this. Mm-hmm. And Jey turns around and the crowd, they're all like reacting like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. But then Zayn just hugs him, and then Big Jim runs down and they all hug, and it's this long shot zoomed out. They're just yeeting and yeeting. And I just think every single person, this was totally designed to make you expect this. And then we follow them. They get out of the ring. They walk all the way up to the aisle and they're standing at the front and you're just waiting. And then they walk back. And when they finally cut to Cole and McAfee, I thought this was like, if they're in fact turning at some point, I thought they did such a great job of teasing this and just milking the hell out of this, because they just kept the camera on them for an ungodly amount of time to tease this.
Pro wrestling, if it does nothing else, John, it creates trust issues. And I didn't trust Sammy in this segment. I didn't trust Jimmy. I didn't trust either one of them.
Big Jim got left off the card entirely. I mean, these two have their, both of them got left off WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I think like you're planting it for that very reason, that it's going to come, but it's going to come at a time when you're not expecting it after this big tease. So I actually thought this was actually really well done, because Zayn and Jey could be a really great program for Jey. I think that's maybe the best program you could have for him at this state, but build it up to be like a big turn that can kind of have its own breathing room when you're ready to do it. They showed the Logan Paul interview with Kathy Kelly afterwards. Not a whole lot that he had to share here. And then Jackie Redmond is with AJ Styles, who explains it was a hard pill to swallow, but I'm just going to move on. And in walks Karrion Kross, fresh off his podcast appearance on Sunday. One of the best promos of his career that he cut, if you have not seen this. And he states, AJ, there is no bouncing back after a loss to Logan Paul. You're the best of us. And by you losing, you have legitimized Logan Paul. Styles explains, I hated the guy I became last year. I'm not going back to that. If I had used the brass knuckles, the win wouldn't have meant anything. Don't take me down with you, Cross, and you can go solve the problem yourself. And Cross says, maybe I will.
Stupid. It's stupid, John. Not a word I use often, but in this case it fits. Because here's the thing. I don't like Logan Paul. I think Logan Paul is a terrible human being, but he's a damn good sports entertainer. And it's like, this man has been in this company for at least 2-3 years, Karrion Kross. And just now you're having an issue with him. This man is probably going to be a future world champion within the next year or so. Like, the idea that Logan Paul's existence is threatening to us as real professional wrestlers is just, it's just stupid, John.
This is going to end with him being forced to, Karrion Kross is going to be forced to like drink Prime or something like that. That's what this is going to lead to at some point down the road. But my God, have they gotten their use out of Karrion Kross over this last week after this guy has just been kind of, you know, he was just all over everything. Even got a walk on at Mania. This was during the commercial break. I don't think any of this aired on the broadcast itself, but A-Town Down Under come out and they shout out Rusev for returning and claim they are the number one contenders for the tag titles. And they are confronted by the War Raiders, who just chase them off and just do their screaming promo that they are the War Raiders and the New Day stole their titles. And they were supposed to say that Raw is war, but they were not in sync at the beginning of this. So best that this was a commercial break promo. But then we go to what I thought was an incredible angle. Gunther shows up ringside, and he is livid over this weekend where he has lost to Jey Uso, and he walks up to Cole and McAfee, and he is explaining how sick he is of their comments. And they are, Cole's just playing dumb, like, what are you upset at us for? We're just having fun. And Pat McAfee gets up and Gunther just shoves him down and he grabs Michael Cole and he goes to choke Cole when Pat McAfee launches at Gunther and Pat starts fighting Gunther. And this place is going nuts because this is the tried and true angle that like once a year you do the angle with the broadcaster and it's a big deal. And the officials are just racing down to restrain Gunther. And Pat McAfee turns his back. And with that, Gunther applies this choke. And you've got producers out here. Adam Pearce is losing his mind. In the background, Pat's crew from his show have jumped the barricade and they are being held back. I would have loved to have seen these guys just get destroyed by Gunther in the collateral damage. But Pat is out after this choke is applied for like a minute. And I will say this. I thought Gunther was phenomenal. Pat McAfee was outstanding in this angle. He sold this like he had come within an inch of his life being ended. He is helped to the back. He is struggling. He's getting down on one knee. He's choking. He can't catch his breath. And they go to the commercial. So I'm live at this point on Netflix. And for 3 minutes, it's just this, the whole aftermath where they're going backstage. They're taking Pat to the trainer's room. And then all of a sudden, we go to the desk. Joe Tessitore is there, all disheveled. He's not ready to work. He's just grabbed his sport coat, and it's just fly by the seat of our pants. He's been thrown into the commentary desk area. And Adam Pearce is telling Michael Cole, just take the night off. Cole's saying, I might have a broken nose here. And he starts telling Pierce, you've got to do something about this. We have to be able to share our opinions and call this without fear of being physically attacked. Michael Cole is standing up for the First Amendment now. And Cole says, I'm not going to let the bully win. I'm going to do my job. And with that, this whole place, this whole arena cheers. And then we start a Michael Cole chant, and then they start doing the song for Michael Cole's name as he returns to join Joe Tessitore. I thought this angle was awesome. I think everyone in it was fantastic. And if this leads to Gunther and Pat McAfee, it feels like a Raw match. They could build that into be something like for a week of Raw with some buildup attached to it. I just saw all the little details they did from Joe Tessitore, and you had no commentary, obviously, over for this extended period of time. In an eerie way, it kind of brought me back to that other Raw we did the night of Jerry Lawler without the commentary. Like, it's very jarring when you don't have commentary for a WWE angle. I just thought this was really well done.
This was tremendous. This was amazing. Like, I think it's so funny just kind of being alive and long enough to see the audience's opinion of Michael Cole change over the years to where now Like, we all love Michael Cole. We all respect this dude to the point where he even got the song from this audience. I will say, though, mainly our European friends in the audience, pick a new song. Like, y'all, everybody can't get the same damn song because then it's not special. If I'm Michael Cole, I'm like, I appreciate the song, but that's the Cody Rhodes song, and you also sang it for Dom last night, I think. So give me something unique to me. Make me feel special.
Variety is not a strong suit when it comes to wrestling audiences.
But no, like you said, John, the small details, like Joe Test just showing up.
He was awesome. Like, just, he played it so well, and it was just, like, there was a lot of attention to detail in this that is sometimes absent from WWE angles like this. And to me, it's like, you can certainly build to at least like a match on Netflix with Pat McAfee and Gunther. And more importantly, it's like, someone can come to McAfee's rescue, that you do get like a bigger baby face to oppose Gunther at a later date as well. And I think to build up to something like this, like, I know that there's a lot of people that are not fans of Pat McAfee, but just like objectively, this guy is like so much more popular than the, like, so many of the figures that you see, like a lot of the celebrities that you see come in and out are not at the level of a Pat McAfee, that I think to do your one match a year and make it something special and promote it for a couple of weeks. Like, I don't see any harm in that. And they couldn't have set this up better than they did with this angle. Like, it was my favorite thing on the show.
And the fact that Cole kept going back to it throughout the rest of the night, where it's like, you know, we have to be able to express, you know, what we feel about what's going on. Like, he's standing up. And as a broadcaster, John, that resonated with me, because I've had run-ins with high school coaches and college coaches that haven't liked all the things that I've said on a microphone. None of them have ever tried to beat me up like Gunther. But just seeing Michael Cole stand up for the rights of this microphone, John, it made me
cry. We can't live in a world where Omos is knocking on Chris Mele's door. Okay.
Oh, man.
So they have to follow this, and it's Dominic and Penta. And if anything, it was just like, I was expecting Dom on this show to just have that whole post-Mania crowd that was so into them. But I honestly feel this audience was just like absorbing this angle that they had just shot. And it felt as though, and the announcers too, like, they're calling the match, but it's, and I would have criticized if they didn't do this, but they had to put the focus on what has just happened. Like, you can't just ignore it. And Cole is like, he's coughing in between trying to call the match, and he's off mic asking for updates on Pat. Like, they just, I just thought it was a lot of the little things in this that I thought were really well done. So Dominic ties Penta's mask to the bottom rope, and he manages a tornado DDT after Penta is freed. Penta comes back with a head scissors, hits the Mexican Destroyer, but Dom rolls out to the floor, and Dominic is telling Finn, take care of him. And with that, Penta comes off with a Rana off the apron, sending Balor crashing into Dominic. And as Carlito distracts the referee, Penta climbs to the top, and the returning JD McDonagh shoves Penta off the top, setting him up for a 619 and a frog splash as Dominic makes his first title defense in 8 minutes in what was technically the main event of Raw.
Yes. Fine match for what it was. Like, the crowd still fairly behind Penta. You did have the Dom love that spilled over from Sunday night, but it like you said, it was tempered a bit by the angle that they had just shot. I'm intrigued with this. There's the shot right there.
Yeah, this
because
was...
everybody's happy except for your man Finn.
Yeah, Finn is odd man out, and he just feels like the total third wheel in this group now. Everyone is celebrating these highs, and Balor's had this awful weekend. So that's sort of the play here.
And the crazy thing is, John, I would say this would be an opportunity for Finn to break away and have a babyface run, but I think Dom would be the babyface in that one-on-one matchup, like, still. And
It's
kind of a weird place for the Judgment Day to be. So it'll be interesting to see how they navigate the waters of this storyline.
We go on camera with Joe Tessitore and Michael Cole, and Joe Tess gives this heartfelt speech about how you never place your hands on the broadcasters. I mean, this was just him putting it down. And I think when it comes to the pro wrestling space, this is a test that you approve of, Nate.
Yes, absolutely. Like, I can't say enough about, like, I love Joe Tess when he's talking boxing, but I did not know in 2025, John, that Joe Tessitore, wrestling announcer, was what I needed, because there's a sense of gravitas that I think he brings, and I love, like, him and Cole after this angle, like, trying to be professional in the face of this violence.
Yeah, and also just, and Nate can appreciate this, you also had Cole have to, like, be in the color role for this match as well. Like, you kind of had to shift roles here with Tess doing the play-by-play as well for this. So, I really thought this angle was great.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chalk Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chop-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Then we get Seth Rollins and Paul Heyman coming out for the final segment, and they were going overtime than the usual 10:30 Eastern cutoff. And they come out for the final segment, and what's the crowd doing? They're chanting, "Thank you, Seth." They're singing along with his song, and then after a certain amount of time, they realize, well, let's move on to Punk chants and OTC chants and fuck you, Heyman. So it was such a weird crowd. Like, yes. if anything, it really just doubled down on all of John Cena's points. Like, this crowd, it was just like they went from, like, no reaction to this big heel turn on Saturday to, I guess, realizing, well, let's we've had our fun. Let's play our part now. So they just shifted. And Rollins finally speaks, and that he took the wise man from Roman Reigns. He stole CM Punk's best friend, and I am the winner of the main event of WrestleMania. And with that, CM Punk's music hits, and he walks down with purpose here, wrapping up his hand, and he goes after Rollins, and they're fighting one another. Punk is stomping him down in the corner, and then he turns to see Heyman, and he grabs Heyman by the jacket, and Rollins goes for the eyes, and he gouges the eyes of Punk and hits a stomp, and Punk is dead. The crowd is chanting for Reigns. Heyman calls Rollins the new undisputed number one top star in the industry, which is quite the mouthful. And then Roman's music plays. Rollins takes Punk, who is still out from this stomp, and just throws him like trash to the floor. Punk had to sell this stomp way too goddamn long. He was worse off than Pat McAfee was. So Reigns, who's obviously not sprinting to the ring, so Punk is still just waiting and waiting until he can recover, makes it to the ring, runs the ropes, and spears Rollins, then nails Heyman with the Superman punch, and he sets up for the spear to Heyman, but he gets cut off by a mystery man in a hoodie who takes out Roman, and it's Braun Breaker, all 129.2% of Braun Breaker. He takes out Roman, and when he reveals himself, this place goes nuts. And Rollins has this look like he doesn't know what to make of Braun, but then he embraces him, and everyone realizes, oh my God, we've got a dangerous alliance, Nate. Yes. Reigns is able to fight back on the floor to Braun, but then Braun runs around the ring, spearing Reigns through the timekeeper's area. Rollins hits follow-up stomps to both Punk and Reigns, and is yelling that the future of the business runs through him as Heyman, Breaker, and Rollins stand tall to end the Raw after WrestleMania. So very big angle to end off the show. And yeah, I mean, just it sets up a lot of stuff, and it would feel like Rollins and Punk seems the most imminent for the first big match, but you also have Breaker in the mix here. Mm-hmm. Like, you've created a lot, and this might be pushing it, Nate, but if they could hold it off, given that here's the guy that has pinned Roman now at two Manias, 10 years apart, if they could hold off this big Rollins Reigns match, to me, that's like your Mania match for next year, but that's a long way to go. I don't know if they can hold it off that long, but man, you have they set up so much here.
Yeah, that'd be a hell of a Mania match. I guess it all just depends on what Dwayne Johnson wants to do, because that's we're running on Rock's time, John.
It'll be Reigns and Rollins all year long until February, and then just throw the book out.
But this closing segment was fantastic, man. Like, I think everybody played their parts well. Again, minor nitpick. I don't see how Seth winning that match changes the course of the future of pro wrestling. It feels like a lot to put on one triple threat match, but okay, I'll put that aside. I felt like Heyman's performance in this was excellent. I feel like Roman with the physicality, like not only the spear, but then the Superman punch to Heyman. Like that was something that I was not expecting so soon for him to get physical with Paul. But then Bron Breakker, like if anybody's listening to me talk on the NWA podcast or elsewhere, I'm in the tank for this man, LeBron Breakker. I was a fan. That's what I call him in my household, John, LeBron Breakker, because he is the young uncrowned king. But I was a fan of his daddy's, and I'm a fan of him. And so I was wondering what was in store for Bron after losing the four-way match last night. And I was thinking, well, maybe they, you know, maybe he's a potential Cena opponent. Like, I don't know what they do with him. But then to see him joined up with Heyman and Rollins, it just fits. You know, obviously there were the reports of Triple H saying he wanted Heyman to work closely with Bron Breakker. And so, yeah, like if he's going to learn, might as well learn under the wing of Heyman. I like these two together. I don't know if there's another shoe to drop, you know, having a three-man group. But yeah, I like the dynamics where we've got ostensibly Punk and Reigns on the same side, even though they're not aligned. And so there's a lot of mileage you can get out of that. There's obviously
you could do the tag first before you get to any of these singles matches. Like that's a big match just to do the tag, that they have a common enemy and a reason to team up as well. So yeah, I thought this set things up really well. And it's also like it kind of does break this mold. Like Heyman, they've been, you know, it's been established guys they've put him with since your Claudios and those and Curtis Axels that did were not winners in terms of those ones. But I feel this one is set up to be, you know, Bron Breakker was already kind of knocking on the door of that upper echelon. And I think moving away from the IC title, this is going to be his entryway that he is going to do very well with this.
And he had a great performance last night. Like if you're going to move him on to something new, that was a great performance to kind of springboard off of. And yeah, like I think Heyman and Rollins both being around this guy are going to be good for him as he continues to try to develop and round out his character. So yeah, I'm in the tank for this already.
So there you go. That was the Raw following WrestleMania. A lot of angles, a lot of appearances, cameos, returns. And, you know, if there's going to be a show that's going to be like lighter on the wrestling, it's a show like this. Mm-hmm. And I would say like there's like, for instance, if we were to talk about a like, let's say there was a big Dynamite show and there was this amount of non-wrestling, I think you would see a lot of that pushback from the audience. But I truly believe like, especially for this audience, they want to see a lot, like they're more like they pop big for like angles for all of this stuff that I wouldn't imagine too many of these fans are leaving like, oh, I wish we got more wrestling out of this. Like this was your big angle laden show. And that's kind of what people want out of this night after Mania. And they certainly got it with all of the surprises and angles and setting the table for the next number of months.
Yeah, it's essentially your season premiere. That we're kind of done with the stories from last season, and now we're going to bring on the new storylines, bring on some new characters, form some new alliances. And so, yeah, I thought overall it was a good show. Ran a little long, but I didn't mind it because they're just making up for ending WrestleMania early last night. Because I was certain, John, we were headed for midnight, and I'm like, oh, I guess John Cena really is getting older because he's like, nah, I got to go to bed, son.
That's it. That's it. So as John Cena has stripped down all of his entrances, his logos, maybe the You Can't See Me has now been assigned to a certain board member. That's more apropos of it. Do we get a Dwayne Johnson appearance in the next, I will say before SummerSlam?
Probably, but here's the thing at this point, and I never thought I would say it, John. It pains me to say it, but at this point, if you don't have a plan, I'm talking to you, Dwayne Johnson. You know, I feel like we're friends at this point. I've done a podcast about you. I bought at least two bottles of Terramana tequila. I downloaded that song with you and Tech N9ne from a few years ago. So I feel like we're friends, Dwayne. If you're going to come back, have a plan. Have a plan. Because if not, then what are we doing? Because again, like when Rock came back for Elimination Chamber, that was a big moment, John. And we really got nothing. I won't say nothing, but we got very little out of it compared to what we could have gotten if Rock had been a more consistent part of this story.
That's what an episode of Unreal would be truly fascinating.
Yes.
Because it blows my mind that such an angle was shot, was done, and there were no commitments, or at least like guarantees of like how all of this happens. And I'm certain they were not doing it with that intention, but the fact that that is how you're not just your biggest angle of the year, one of your biggest angle in years, plural, mm-hmm. it is rather astonishing. And to be quite honest, just watching that segment tonight, maybe now that you are removed from this buildup to Mania, and if Dwayne Johnson is just out of the picture, you can maybe just focus more on Cena. It's less of this lingering question that he's out of sight, out of mind, but it still is like this albatross to this angle that they kind of have to overcome with the keeping people engaged and not wanting to think about something that there's no knowledge of whether they're going to be able to deliver on in terms of a Johnson involvement.
Real quick, John, in terms of Cody, how do you think they start to rehabilitate him on Friday? Because I feel like they made Cody look really dumb on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think they have to give a lot of like thought to the handling of his character and what they've always been able to do. And the key is he is a great promo, and I think that can sometimes overcome a lot of those kinds of situations, but they have to be very cognizant of that fact and keep that edge to Cody. And I think that your next thing, I think you do need to give Cody sort of that, you know, you had this moment of weakness that caused you the title, and you need to kind of almost have like some kind of blood feud that follows this with whoever your next opponent is, and put Cody into like this role that he is now out for vengeance to get back to his title. And this has created some kind of edge to him while maintaining the babyface aspect of things. Like I don't want to say like he's damaged coming out of WrestleMania, but there was definitely this impenetrable babyface demeanor that was severely dented over some of these reactions. And I'd be more concerned if it was like, for instance, tonight, if you had put him out there, I think that would have been really risking things of just not so much just getting booed tonight, but audiences suddenly like, now this is the guy we boo, and this is just the thing we do that is associated with Cody that just becomes, I mean, he's been through that whole song and dance in AEW, and it was not a great situation for him.
Yeah, and if that is the outcome, like, what did we do it for? What did they do it for? Because Cena, not only is Cena not here for a long time, but the match last night did not leave a good taste in people's mouths. This, you know, this heel run has been interesting, but I don't think it's been beloved, you know, because of what it could have been. So, yeah, I hope they handle Cody with care. Because he still has a lot of mileage, I think, as a babyface. Like, eventually you'll get a natural spot for Cody to turn heel, I think. But it's not right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to say goodbye to everyone on the free feed. But stay tuned for all of you on the cafe. We're going to continue. We're going to do a bit of feedback. But as we say goodbye to everyone on the free channel, I want to give the floor over to Nate, who is doing big, big things over at Nefarious Media. Ring Theory is going to be in your ear coming up later this week. So, Nate, let everybody know here on the Post Wrestling Channel where they can follow more of Nate Milton and really the Pat McAfee of Nefarious Media.
Yes. I guess I'll take that, John, because again, if anybody has spoke with John Pollock,
the positive parts.
I will defend you, John. But yes, Nefarious Media, we are now officially 3 months in to Nefarious Media, you know, formerly the Kings of Sport Network. And we're really excited about Ring Theory, John. And it's going to be, in my mind, the way I envision it is take Around the Horn, speaking of ESPN, and apply it to folks in the wrestling media space, wrestling journalism space. And that's something that I think could be very fascinating. So right now we're planning to do one a month. If we have more fun with it and the guests enjoy it, we'll expand. But for right now, we're going to do one a month. The first episode is Thursday night at 7 Eastern. It will be available in podcast form, but also live that night on the Nefarious Media YouTube channel. But yeah, it's going to be hosted by Gerard Downtown Brown, who has been on the NWA podcast and was actually in Vegas for WrestleMania this past weekend. Andrew Thompson, who is familiar to the post-wrestling audience, and upper mid-card Jay Lacy, who has also been on the NWA podcast. So these younger cats, I'm much like Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins, John. I'm trying to put some shine on the future of this business. And so that's why I had to win this match, John, to preserve the future of podcasts. But those guys are going to be doing a great job, and you'll see me and Chris and Ray and a couple other people pop in, but it's their show, and I want them to run it and have fun with it. And get into some of these theories, get into some of these discussions about the business in and out of the ring. You know, like, I'm sure they'll have a lot of WrestleMania talk on Thursday, but the AAA acquisition is something I'm sure they'll break down on Thursday as well. So Ring Theory, Nefarious Media Network, check it out. Patreon.com/Nefarious Media Network if you want to support what we are doing over at the channel. We're trying to bring thoughtful, truthful, turned up commentary to this podcasting space, John. And so, yeah, it's always fun doing these shows with you. And so we'll say goodbye to the free people. That didn't sound right the way it came out of my mouth. Not the free people, because we all should be free. But the people who are not paying for this amazing content at Post Wrestling, we'll say goodbye to y'all for now.
All right. That's going to do it for us. And we're going to keep on going all night long over on the Post Wrestling Cafe.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.